He returns to Detroit after an eighth place finish in the 500. He has three top tens this season. And the driver of the number 14, AJ Foyt Racing, Sexton Property Chevrolet, Santino Ferrucci, joins us from parts unknown. He's driving back home to Texas. And then only, of course, what, fly back to Detroit in this area, Indianapolis area, in a couple days. So that's how it worked. All right, first things first, we're going to forgive you for not turning on the video because safety first, Santino. But where are you right now? Give us the play-by-play.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys joining me. Yeah, I don't want to do Noah Gregson and do the video conference while I drive. So if y'all excuse me. And I'm in Missouri, so I've got about 500 miles left to go to get to Dallas, and yeah, it'll take me about 8 hours.
Nice. It's a full car, too, right?
Full car. I've got, it's myself, my wife, Renee, both of our pups, Kodak and Cleo. Everybody's enjoying the road trip, so Renee's taking a nap. Cleo's taking a nap, and Kodak's up with us, listening in.
That's great. Every now and then, you got to take a road trip like that, so it's all good. Hey, coming off the top 10 at Indy, I mean, there was plenty of buzz around the team, I think, throughout the course of May and certainly on race day. How do you guys keep that momentum going now as you head to Detroit?
Yeah, obviously, Indy was honestly a really tough 3 weeks for us. The GP didn't go well. We had a lot of car failures. We had quite a couple of mechanical things throughout the month of May, so to do as well as we did, we were really proud of that. Result, all things considered, it was a lot of hurdles. And yeah, I think we're just looking forward to getting back on the street courses. Really going to utilize that Penske partnership right now because we were terrible there last year and they were pretty good. So looking forward to seeing what we can do and what we can improve upon. Excited to be back at the fueling pit lane. That was honestly one of the coolest things. So excited to hear about all the repave changes that they've done for the end of Jefferson and for Turn 9. And yeah, I'm just hoping that we have a little bit more fun this year.
Yeah, one more before we open it up for questions. And I was going to ask you what you really liked about the streets of downtown Detroit layout. I mean, the pit lane is as unique as it gets, right?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, Detroit is probably now, Belle Isle was my favorite street course. Not saying that because it was my season opener and I celebrated my birthday there. I genuinely loved Belle Isle. I thought it was one of the best racing tracks that we had on the calendar. And honestly, Detroit really lives up to that. And downtown Detroit, it's one of the most scenic tracks that we go to by far. Just with the GM Renaissance building in the background, you have, you know, all the views from all the buildings, the parking garage structures. You know, it's a very seedy race, all things considered, for where we are.
Yeah, unique for sure. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Again, if you have a question, use the virtual raised hand, and we will begin with Dan Jones from DiveBombMotorsports.com. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hi there, not bad, how are you?
Good.
How are you, Santino? Hopefully you've had a good few weeks after the 500. First of all, we saw the strength of Penske obviously winning and sweeping the front row. How much do you feel they benefited from the alliance with you over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, so obviously the race cars are the race cars, but the Q cars, I think, really kind of showed that alliance in full form. We were missing something. We couldn't quite figure out what was going on with our car. We could get it above the 233.2 mark all day. We're not quite sure what that was, but same thing in the race. You know, we were just missing a little bit of speed. But those guys did an excellent job. I mean, they built quality cars, man, and they showed up, and they did very well. I mean, and vice versa for us, we built some really good race cars. We were on their dampers. So we were running our own setup, but their equipment, so honestly, it worked both ways for us pretty well.
And on the sort of flip side of the occasion, particularly looking at Roden Street, do you feel you've benefited from that alliance significantly so far compared to last year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just take a look at, St. Pete doesn't really count because we didn't make it more than three corners last year. But look at a race like Barber, right? We last year, I think we finished 18th, 19th. We're kind of nowhere. This year, we were leading, running up front, and just kind of, you know, slightly different strategy, but we still ended up seventh. we were top 10 in the points going into Indy. You know, we've had a much better year so far, and a lot of that is thanks to the Penske Alliance. You know, we still have our own things that we're sorting out. You know, all of our engineering department is brand new, with the exception of Michael Cannon and one of our DAGs. But other than that, yeah, it's been quite a learning process for us. I feel like we're with the continuity of just the drive, unfortunately. So it's a lot to learn and not a lot of time.
And then just looking back at the 500, I just wanted to see sort of your take on the first 100 laps or so. Did you find the driving a bit aggressive? You saw a lot of cautions compared to previous years. Did it sort of ruin your flow a little bit, maybe hamper you a tiny bit?
I kind of figured, I actually told my boss, Larry, that I felt like this would be a very caution-filled race. I don't think it's due to the aggressivity of anybody in particular. Look, I was my fair share of aggressive. I mean, I was three wide lap one getting me going between Larson and Rossi. Like, I knew I was going to get by him. That's how I did it. I think what happened really and why you saw so many wrecks is Firestone is really trying to build the tire around the hybrid. So they stiffened up the left sides for the weight, which is the correct thing to do. Just the issue with that, and then us not implementing the hybrid till mid-Ohio. I mean, you can't tell them, hey, look, go remake God knows how many tires they make for us. So you have 33 cars, and we have like 25 sets. So quick math there is a lot. They're not going to go remake all the tires, so the cars were definitely a little bit more free this year. And then everybody's really pushing the limits because it's super competitive. So everybody's trying to ride that razor edge, and unfortunately, we saw a lot of wrecks, and luckily everyone walked away, and thanked a lot for making a safe race car.
Thanks, Santina. Best of luck for the weekend. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dan. Tommy T, go ahead with Santino.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much, Dave. Real quick, Santino, congratulations on a great weekend. You ran a very smart and mature race. How important was the strategist in your ear telling you when to calm down, when to go? What kind of role did that play?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we could have led a lot of laps. Like, we could have led almost as many as Scotty if we really wanted to. And there was at one point in the race where Joseph was basically braking in front of me to get me to pass him. And so, because I wouldn't, Scott passed me, and then they tried to both get me to go out front. And, you know, we weren't born yesterday. I've been racing here for a while now. They were suffering massively in the lead with fuel. And you know, would had massive potential to hurt them later in the race. So they wanted someone that wasn't one of their two cars out front. I knew better. My boss knew better. So we just kind of sat there and rode. And it was kind of comical, actually, to watch from my point of view. If you see a car that's supposed to be doing 235 miles an hour at the end of the straight, hitting the brakes at the bricks to try and save fuel, essentially, it's not the race that you want to run, but sometimes that's what happens with the way that the yellows fall. You know, I hate that Indy's a fuel race. It's kind of annoying. It's nice to just run wide open there, but that's part of strategy today. And, yeah, no, trust me. I really wanted to lead. It would have been awesome to have the 14 Humpster troops up front more often. But for the first 100 laps, because of the first caution, the way it felt, we were all in a fuel game.
Another follow-up question. Relative to your paint scheme, it was incredibly attractive, especially on TV. Tell us what it meant to you to drive a car blanketed in the United States flag.
Man, honestly, it's an honor. It's not, you know, it's not just one thing that makes this special. It's driving the 14 for AJ Foyt, driving the American car, your American flag car, the Stars and Stripes, on Memorial Day weekend, and then supporting an incredible charity like the Hope Star Troops charity for our post 9/11 vets. You know, all of those things combined, the amount of military personnel that comes into our garage to hang out with us, all the fans that come out to the track, they cheer that car on just based on, you know, what it stands for. So it's really cool to be in that car and then be up front, and it's a privilege to have that opportunity. And yeah, it's honestly, it's so cool. I'd cheer that car on too if I was in the stands having a couple of beers, because it's America. Why not?
There you go, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dave. Congratulations, Santino.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tommy. I think you may have touched on it yesterday in the victory, last night in the victory celebration. I know a lot of drivers did, but the fans, the way that, you know, stuck through the rain delay, obviously, or headed back to their cars and then came back out. I mean, you thought, you know, going green at 4:44, you thought it was at 12:30 in the afternoon. I mean, it didn't miss a beat, did it?
No, it was honestly impressive. I don't understand how 400,000 people come back in, leave, and then come back in such an orderly fashion. I mean, that is organized, and it was one of like the other thing. Like, I was sitting in my bus, there's some people still out braving it in the stands, man, getting soaked. I was like, I can't imagine sitting in my wet socks or underwear for, you know, the next 8 hours. Felt so bad for those guys.
Dry t-shirt sales went through the roof. No, I'm kidding. I don't know, but I bet they did.
I'm sure they
All right, Eric Smith, IndyCar.com. Go ahead with Santino.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Santino, I was looking last year, heading to Detroit, you were 15th in points. You're 12th this year. Your top 10s have come at all three disciplines of tracks we've ran on. What's the outlook for the rest of the season? And have your goals maybe shifted now that you're kind of coming into the real season now with a championship run? And have they shifted at all from where they were before we got to St. Pete earlier this year?
No, I think, you know, we were always in the mind of this being a two-year program. It was definitely more challenging than I anticipated this year with Penske. You know, I think a lot of us were kind of thinking plug and play. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. I do drive similar to one of the three, but I am kind of in between on my own little island with my driving style. I do like a very loose race car mid corner, I've been trying to, this year it's been really good because it's made me drive a bit more of a pushy race car. And it's showed when I've been able to do it correctly. You know, last year we only had one top 10 and that was at the Speedway. This year we now have three. We have one at a street course, one at a road course, and obviously Indy. So I just think the team's consistency is getting much better. You know, the two races we didn't do so well, one of which we missed the strategy, the other one we had a couple of failures in the race. So it's not for the lack of trying. You know, we could definitely be fighting for a top 10 in points for the rest of the year.